Pastors Larry and Tiz Huck welcome you to this weekly Torah study from New Beginnings Church in Bedford, Texas, taught by Pastor Scott Sigmund. We pray this message will help you better understand how God's Old Testament wisdom and New Testament revelation are meant to jointly fit together.
Well, welcome to Torah study today. I'm Pastor Scott, and we're going to take the Torah portion today, all of that rich Old Testament wisdom, and we're going to blend it with the New Testament revelation and do what the church was always meant to do, honor our Jewish roots, honor Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. There's divine principles in the Old Testament that should never have been plowed into the landfill of history. So this is what New Beginnings is called to do. Pastor and Tiz have been doing it for 25 years, and it's brought us to this place where we're influencing the nations through our TV broadcast and our political affiliations of standing with Israel. How many of you here think it's a good idea to stand with Israel? Yeah, in other words, you're on the right side of biblical history. Amen. So today's Torah study is on the life of Sarah, and I want to entitle this Sarah, the Virtuous Woman. And we had an interesting discussion this morning about how many sermons we've heard since the 80s on women. And suddenly we were at a loss. Can't really remember that many examples of preachers using women to get across a point. And so today's Torah study, I was going to teach on Abraham and the first real estate deal in recorded history when he bought the cave of Machpelah. It kind of gives us some insight into who owns the land. Well, Abraham had the first real estate deed, and to my knowledge, he never sold it.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. So he's the owner. Anyone after that is the occupier. Oops. Oop. There it is. For all those anti-Jewish, Christian, Israel politicians. Amen. So anyways, moving right along, there's many things we could have taught out of this, but we want to get into the qualities of Sarah because the Torah study is named after her. It's the only Torah portion named after a woman, the life of Sarah. And so this portion is rich in teaching and divine principles, and it speaks of qualities that you and I are meant to develop and pass on to future generations. Amen. What you have to realize in this study is that Sarah was a powerful woman of God. Amen. She was a real biblical mentor that God chose to start the Jewish people and by extension the family of God. If we're the seed of Abraham, which the New Testament calls us the seed of Abraham, then somewhere in that equation we're also related to Sarah. Because Abraham and Sarah were a powerful team. And Sarah, as the matriarch of the Jewish people, and really the Christian people, even though some would say Mary. Mary is the matriarch. Well, yeah, she can be in that number, but it started with Sarah. And so Sarah plays a key part in the formation of our Judeo-Christian history. But look, I've been going to church every week since the 80s. How many times have we missed church since the 80s? We can count them on our fingers and toes. But I haven't heard one sermon on Sarah. Maybe I need to get out more. Or maybe it's not being preached. But today we're going to cover some of this, and I hope it'll bless you. We don't often think of Sarah as the matriarch, as she was there when Judeo-Christianity began. She was part of the revelation with Abraham to come out of your country, your family, and go to a nation that I haven't told you where it is yet. Take a journey to an unknown destination and set up a system of religious worship revolving around Jehovah. Come on, Sarah. Sarah and Abraham, if you think about it, have one of the great love stories in the Bible. Right? I mean, their marriage, what's 50 is the golden anniversary? Yeah, they had a golden anniversary and more. Hallelujah. They were united spiritually in the revelation that there's just one true God. Right? Amen? And that was big time back then. And throughout the generations and throughout the centuries, there's been rulers and nations and people that want to silence that revelation. This week's elections, in some way, shape, or form, is about deciding, are we going to be one nation under one true God, or are we going to be something different? Well, you can't legislate morality like that. Newsflash. Somebody's morality is going to be legislated. It might as well be ours. Amen. So alongside Abraham, Sarah displayed a level of vision. She had to have that vision. How many marriages struggle because husband and wife don't share the same vision? It took some courage. We're moving from New York and we're moving to, you know, L.A. That takes some courage. Moving from Portland to Dallas took some courage. Amen. And Sarah had that vision. She had that courage. She had that faith. And mostly the big thing, the big takeaway is together they stood against the idolatry of their time. Sarah was there standing against a false system of worship. When they left Haran, the Bible says they left with Lot, with great wealth. So they left with relatives. How many of you like relatives at your house? How many of you like great wealth? What would you do if you had $1 million? Would that be a game changer for you? Would you sow any of that into making the world a better place? If you would, get ready because more is coming. Amen. And they left with souls, the Bible says, they had converted to faith in Hashem. See, Abraham ministered to the men, but Sarah mentored the women. And together, they made the very first aliyah to Israel, and as we said, no easy journey. She, Sarah, they, with Abraham, endured many years of barrenness until Isaac was born. That'll put some stress on a family. Anyone know a little bit about that? You've seen that. Yet through all the trials and tribulations of their lives, they remained faithful to a lifelong covenant that they made with the Lord. May that be our testimony. That when we get to 120, anyone planning on living a long, fruitful, abundant quality of life? Amen. That'll happen if you have a lifelong covenant with God, right? God is the main thing. And the covenant that they entered into, think about this, it's a covenant that you and I are still living out this very day. Praise God. Now, part of reclaiming our Jewish roots or our spiritual roots, our Bible roots, you know, a lot of people think your Bible roots start in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If that's where you start in your faith, that's okay, but that's not the very, very beginning or the origin of everything. It's all the way back in Genesis and with this story of Abraham and Sarah. And today's reading begins in Genesis 23, 1, and it says, Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. But there's something real interesting. If you go into the Humash, the Hebrew Bible, it says it just a little bit differently, more in line with the original translation. It says Sarah's lifetime was 100 years, 20 years, and 7 years, the years of Sarah's life. There are many great scholars Jewish history. One from the Middle Ages is Rashi. Rashi is from the same hometown that Pastor's family is from. I've often wondered if you could do DNA testing, would there be some kind of connection with Pastor Larry and Rashi, the great Jewish rabbi? But he interprets this as saying that this means that Sarah's life and her years were all equally good. And whether it be at 100 or 20 or 7, there was something unique about it. And then he breaks it down and says, the 7-year-old has a quality of innocence. Sarah had a quality of innocence, of purity, of holiness and righteousness as a young child. But she also possessed the strength and power of the ambition, the vision, the enthusiasm of a 20-year-old. And she had the wisdom of a 100-year-old. And this is one of the secrets to Sarah's greatness. She possessed and displayed all of these qualities throughout her entire life. Innocence from the 7-year-old, strength from the 20-year-old, and wisdom from the 100-year-old. Isn't that great? Amen. How many of you need more of those qualities today? Receive it in Jesus' name. When you study the life of Sarah, you find another characteristic, and it's related to the Sabbath. As the matriarch of God's people, the Lord made sure that Sarah was honored and remembered every Friday night through Shabbat. Come on, somebody. The Sabbath is one of the oldest and strongest symbols of our faith. Unfortunately, because of the doctrine of replacement theology, most Christians have missed out on this amazing biblical experience called Shabbat. We've been hostile to Jewish things, which in fact really are biblical things, right? God gave them first to the Jew, but you and I have been what? Grafted into Israel. And it's true that as Gentiles grafted in, we can do as little or as much of the Jewish experience as we want. Don't be criticizing Brother Andy for wearing a kippah. You don't have to, but if he chooses to or someone chooses to wear a tallit or put a mezuzah, it's not the Christian's duty to disdain that. It's to figure out, how do I honor that? Right? And vice versa. If I don't do it, it's not the same, but it's the same kind of principle. When God introduced Shabbat, he introduced it, guess when? At the dawn of creation. Embedded in creation is the revelation of Shabbat. Well, I thought Shabbat was legalism. When God created the heavens and the earth, it wasn't legalistic. And within that, go back to Genesis 1 and 2 and read your Bible. There's Shabbat on the seventh day. The Lord rested. And that rest is the Sabbath rest. And in Hebrews, it says, you've been missing out on the day of rest, you Gentiles. So get with the program and learn about this stuff. Amen? He made Shabbat an appointed time to concentrate on building a firm biblical foundation with who? Family and friends. If you grew up in the Assembly of God or the Baptist denominations, you probably grew up hearing about family altar. Whoever has heard that term, family altar, a few are raising their hands if you're listening on the podcast. The family altar is Shabbat. That's the original family altar. And over the generations, this study of Sarah's life tells us that it was Sarah who became the cornerstone of the Shabbat ceremony. Every Friday night since Sarah has featured candle lighting. Where did the Catholics get this candle lighting thing? Goes all the way back to Sarah and Shabbat. But it also features prayers and blessings. And it's led, guess by whom? The woman of the house. Because God primarily called Sarah and has called women to bring spiritual light into the home. Amen? God wants an atmosphere where the family can flourish and prosper. So every Friday night we come under this banner of Shabbat. And under this banner, blessings are released, prayers are prayed, and unity is formed between fathers and sons and mothers and daughters and the whole family and whoever comes on over. Amen? See, once the candles are lit, it's time to remember God loves us. God is for us. And it's also the time where we stir up on a weekly basis our love for each other. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Monday, Tuesday, we're stressed out because why do you always leave your socks on the floor? Can you ever put the toothpaste cap back on the tube of toothpaste? Why do you put the roll of toilet paper in the wrong way? And on and on and on. Oh, no one ever has said any of that. You're all so holy and perfect. On Friday night, all of that is washed away. Old things are passed away. Arguments are passed away. Tensions, anxieties, strife. It's all passed away and we become renewed. How many of you love a renewed feeling in the Holy Ghost? Amen. So despite man-made doctrines, man-made objections, women in leadership, get ready. Women in leadership is biblical. Can I get a hand clap from somebody? Or are you trying to be doctrinally correct based on man-made things? In fact, many Jewish teachers throughout history have said it was the Jewish woman, not the Jewish man, who first agreed to accept the Torah at Mount Sinai. Isn't that interesting? And I got to thinking about this, that even in our New Testament, it speaks to this idea. In Galatians 3:28, it says there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, male or female. That doesn't mean God is for transgender. On Tuesday, you're Samuel, and on Thursday, you're Sarah. No, I don't think so. I can prove that in a biology book, not just the Bible. Don't confuse me with the facts. Secular humanists convinced against their will are of the same opinion still. Thank you for that, honey. Yeah, God is telling us I'm removing stereotypes. I'm removing distinctions that put people in their place. Why does the church get off on wanting to put women in their place? Not getting many amens. I must be treading on thin ice here. I would think you fell back, you got extra sleep, you had extra coffee, I'm sure. Maybe you got some sugar in your system. Somebody give me an amen out there. God is showing us that great women of the Bible like Sarah play an important role in church, in the home, in our lives, in society. Women are ministers of the gospel. Women are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Women are called to influence their generation beginning with their family. And this is the basis of the Shabbat blessing. When we proclaim, may our daughters, and we always include our nieces and our sister, may our daughters, our sisters, our nieces, all of our lady friends be blessed with the blessing of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah. Every Friday night, we're speaking prophetically over our daughters, over the women, so that they can become great leaders. In Jewish literature, it speaks of this blessing and it defines it as saying, may God make you like the greatest women the Torah knows. We say that blessing of Sarah, Rebecca, Rivka. May you always love the Lord. May you be beautiful in spirit and in deed. May you be fruitful and have children who grow with a love for God and a love for others. Why would I want to do Shabbat? Why wouldn't you? If this is the blessing I'm releasing, may you be found faithful even in the midst of life's struggles. May their greatness fill your life right now. So you will diligently use your God-given talents to be a blessing to others. And may you be reminded of it every Friday night. Wow. What an amazing prayer. And what an amazing picture of the blessing released every Friday night. This is telling us that Sarah possessed these qualities. They're qualities of a biblical woman in a biblical home. And she was the prototype of creating a righteous dwelling place for not only her family, but also a place where the presence of God would dwell. A mini tabernacle. Our home is meant to be, as it were, a mini tabernacle. And so because of all of this, you could say that Sarah epitomizes the Proverbs 31 woman. Do we have any Proverbs 31 women in the house today? If you've never read Proverbs 31, go to BibleGateway.com and read every translation you can, and you'll have preached yourself, read yourself happy. A woman of integrity, faithfulness, anointing, strength, courage, vision, and above all, graciousness, love, and compassion. And may all of us here today, especially the women, be blessed like Sarah. And that you leave here today inspired to use your gifts, your talents, your personality, your calling to bring God's love to your family and friends, to your church, to your community. When you do that, then you're healing a broken world. Look around. The world is broken. People are mad. They're angry. They're stressed. They're full of anxieties because they really don't understand. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe. They don't understand that. But with your love and compassion, your pretty smile, everybody put on your high school picture smile face right now. Amen. And when you do that, you'll make a difference and you'll leave a legacy. Now, the teaching goes deeper because leaving a legacy is a big part of this. If you go back to Genesis 24:67, it says, Isaac brought her, Rivka, Rebecca, into his mother's tent. And he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Well, what does this mean? In ancient wisdom, it's speaking about Yitzhak, Isaac, bringing Rebekah, into Sarah's tent, his mom's tent, and she became similar to Sarah. May our daughters become similar to their mothers. With integrity and courage and vision and love and compassion. Oh, is somebody out there? Do you hear me today? Amen. Ancient wisdom in the Midrash says, as long as Sarah was alive, there was a candle lit from Friday night to Friday night. Her dough was blessed. Now, back in the day, that meant her bread, her challah, was blessed. For you today, it means your challah is blessed. Your challah is blessed, and so is your wallet. So is your pocketbook. It says her dough was blessed and a cloud was tied to her tent. That's the Shekinah, was tied to her home. God, help our homes have your Shekinah tied to it. When Sarah died, it goes on, all these things ceased. When Rebekah entered the tent, all of these phenomenon returned. What an amazing reminder to leave a legacy. Don't let the world get us so wrapped up into living life, pursuing things that have nothing to do with our eternal destiny. Some of that has to happen, obviously, on your job and so on and so forth. But at some point, God, help us to realize that I'm here to make a difference and to leave a spiritual legacy that touches my children and my grandchildren and beyond. Amen. And you can pass down these qualities, especially if you're working on them. Well, I'm under grace, Pastor Scott. There's nothing I have to do. What a selfish attitude. That's not what grace is for. Grace isn't so you got pull out your wallet like you're at the TSA and here's my opt-out card. I don't got to do nothing. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I don't got to do nothing. Just make me pastor. How many of you feel like over the past months you've become more godly? That you're fulfilling more of God's plan? Grace is the empowerment to do that. God loves you so much, He doesn't want you to stay where you're at. He wants, and in the case of teaching on Sarah, men can learn from this too, but it's specifically to the women, that God wants you to continue to develop into that virtuous woman of Proverbs 31. And so as I was studying this, I went to the internet and found a website called A Virtuous Woman. I began to read what she had to say. Pretty good stuff, I must say. So good that I stole her list. The virtuous woman, number one, has faith. And that faith means, like Sarah, she serves God with all of her heart and all of her soul and all of her mind. She's continuously seeking His will and following His ways. Number two, in marriage, the virtuous woman respects her husband. This is a woman that wrote it. This isn't a white male chauvinist pig trying to indoctrinate you into some kind of thing. I'm just reading from the biblical stuff. She does him good all the days of her life. She is trustworthy and a helpmeet. Better move off of that real quick. Number three, mothering. A virtuous woman teaches her children the ways of God. But mom, in my school, they don't do it that way. She nurtures her children with the love of Christ, disciplines them with care and wisdom, and trains them in the way they should go. A virtuous woman like Sarah. Number four, health. A virtuous woman cares for her body. She prepares healthy food. That must be a mistake. Aren't we having pizza again? Number five, service. A virtuous woman serves her family, her friends, her husband, her neighbors with a gentle and loving spirit. Boy, the world right now is so angry. Jesus said in the last days, the hearts of men and women would turn cold. Don't you be one of them. Yeah, people make mistakes. They do us wrong. They mess up. You watch stuff on TV. You see our politicians acting a fool. We need to learn to be loving and gracious and gentle, compassionate, and let that be the dominant characteristic trait. Amen? Number six, finances. A virtuous woman amasses wealth. And a virtuous woman who's got a husband in the house doesn't mind spending the money wisely. Before I go max all these credit cards out, let's find out if my husband's in agreement. Why? I loosen a spirit of wise financial management. Sometimes it's not that we have a debt problem, it's we have a spending problem. Okay, get off of that. Number seven, industry. A virtuous woman works willingly and sings praises to God as she does, not grumbling about, oh, I got another thing to do. Why am I the only one that works around here? We're preparing a place for the Shekinah glory. God, let your presence fill our lives, our hearts, our speech, our home, and let us just reflect the goodness and mercy and morality of our Father in heaven in this place. Number eight, homemaking. A virtuous woman creates an inviting atmosphere of warmth and love for family and guests. They always have to come over here. I'm sick and tired of these people knocking on my front door. Sarah used, and we need to use hospitality to minister to those around us. Number nine, time. A virtuous woman uses her time wisely. She works diligently to complete everything that she has to do that day and doesn't spend time dwelling on things that don't please the Lord. This is from avirtuouswoman.org. Number 10, beauty. A virtuous woman is a woman of worth and beauty. And not just outward beauty. We all enjoy outward beauty. Ladies, you wear jewelry, use makeup. In some denominations, if you wear makeup and jewelry, you're going to hell. Not here. We don't follow that man-made doctrine. Look good. Don't max out your credit cards to do it, or you'll be paying for today for the next 2 years. But more than outward is that inner beauty. God, help us all to have an inner beauty that comes from serving Christ. Use your creativity, your sense of style to create a beauty, not so you can be advertising, but so that you can be advertising for the Lord. Oh, I know. You know what? I'm glad you brought that up. Jesus loves you and your soul is about ready to be saved. Amen. Okay. Anyways, that's an amazing list of qualities, isn't it? God bless the women in our lives. Amen. Our mothers, our sisters, our daughters, our nieces. Amen. And God bless all of you in our church. You know, you do a great job of helping make New Beginnings a special place. I wanted to get into some other things on Sarah and Hagar, some interesting revelations. I guess this time next year, same time next year, we'll cover Hagar. Amen. But until then, make sure that you make your voice count. We need leaders to be elected that love the Bible. Will somebody running for office talk about keeping us one nation under God? I want to hear somebody say something about the Lord. Amen. So get out and vote. Even if you have to stand in line for an hour, it's worth it. Have a great day today. Be enthusiastic and blessed in all that you do. Amen.